I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice's Christmas special. That's right. We brought some people in from the neighborhood. You know, Jim Giordano. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. Thank you.
Marisa Giordano, his lovely bride. Marisa, how are you?
I'm great.
And my lovely bride, the wonderful and loving Kathleen. How are you, honey?
Merry Christmas, Joe.
Merry Christmas, everybody. You know, we talked about doing this for a while because last Christmas we did kind of a Christmas special with the four of us, and we talked about what we cared about, why Christmas is important. And we could talk about politics all day long. We can go on and on with the nonsense of our everyday lives. Everybody's got problems. This year has been particularly ridiculous with COVID and who you can see, who you can't see. So this Christmas, we want to go a little bit further and have a little bit more fun. Enjoy our time together here at Christmas as family, as friends. So that's why I brought my family and friends here together, so we can all talk about it. So one of the things I think I remember the most from being a kid at Christmas time, and I think Christmas memories help all of us to relive that. Why is it magic? I mean, why is Christmas a magic season? I mean, what do you do? You put the lights out. It's different than any other season. It lasts a long time. You go caroling. There's cookies. It's not like anything else. It's special. It is really a wonderful time of year, and songs have been written about it. And for me as a kid, it was magical. And I remember, you know, my brother and I, we lived in a Cape Cod. So we had two bedrooms upstairs and a bathroom. My brother and I shared a bathroom. And my father, I never forget, he would say, "Listen, you can't come down till the sun comes up," mm-hmm. which would tell me that previous years we probably came down before the sun came up. And, you know, for a guy who was working, he loved Christmas and his kids, but you can't come down at what time does the sun come up? 6 a.m., 5 a.m., who knows, right? So that was the thing. But my brother and I used to wake up and we would sneak down the stairs and we'd look around the corner and we would see, oh, there's no presents there yet. Now, to us, it was the middle of the night. It was probably 10:30, you know, because we went to bed at 7, you know. Oh, my, there's no presents yet. And we would check every couple of hours. Either he would wake me up or I'd wake him up. Let's go look. Because, of course, you're not going to go by yourself. What if you see Santa? Then you ain't getting nothing either. I'm not seeing him. Right? We go there. And then all of a sudden you'd go and it was filled with presents. Oh, my God. That was the most amazing thing. Because you knew, how did I miss it, though? Why didn't I hear this guy? Right? But it was the magic that could have happened. And those are the kind of things that bring us from year to year with our kids. Marisa, what did you do growing up? What was important to you when you were young?
See, I didn't have that kind of Christmas where I come from Italian descent. My dad is actually an Italian citizen who came here and got his citizenship. But where we're from, we did always Christmas Eve was the special night. So we would always do fish because you cannot have meat until Jesus was born. It was kind of maybe a sacrifice. I don't really know. But we always had 7 fishes, which to me was delicious. Zeppoli and all kinds of crazy cookies. And midnight came. And then all of a sudden, Santa came and presents were everywhere. So we slept in on Christmas. We didn't care about nobody else.
So there's Santa showed up and brought the presents?
Oh, yeah. One time it was my cousin. One time it was my dad. One time we had Christmas with different Santas every year, but it was always Christmas Eve.
That's and how many people out there here in Chasing Justice Land, your family was Christmas Eve, right? Always. How many do we remember that they used to put up the tree and do everything on Christmas Eve? My neighbors, God bless them, the mom and the dad's gone, mom is older, and the family lives there, but they did not turn their Christmas lights on until Christmas Eve. This year, all the kids are in the house, and The lights have been on for 2 weeks because these kids wanted Christmas lights like everybody else.
But Italians also, they don't really celebrate Christmas until the Epiphany. Mm-hmm. So until the kings came to see Jesus, it's not Christmas. So it's kind of European traditional thing.
Interesting. Yeah. So, Kathy, as a little girl, Christmas. First of all, you came at Christmas time. You were like a special present at Christmas time.
Yeah, so I was telling you yesterday, I think it was. I'm not sure. But I was adopted. And I was born in October, but my parents got me December 19th. So I like to celebrate that day because that was a very cool day. And I think that that was a really special time because I don't really understand. I understand the pain of not being able to have a child, but that's that was such a difficult thing for my parents. So that's a very special day for me. We had that.
Imagine how wonderful for them to bring you home at Christmas. I mean, you get to have a baby for Christmas. How mm-hmm. awesome is that?
Yeah, like nothing else matters.
And what as a kid, what was your special thing at Christmas?
I just remember a lot of tinsel. There's a lot. It was
the stringy tinsel.
Liberal tinsel all over the place. I remember that growing up. That was pretty funny. We got to decorate that. I think my father worked shift work, and so sometimes he would have to leave at 5 in the morning, but he didn't want to miss Christmas. Like when you're an essential worker and you have to leave very early, so they made an attempt. They woke us up. I remember very specifically one year being woken up mm-hmm. just so that my father could see us open all the gifts.
Oh, how sweet.
Because he did, you know, he had to go to work. It's not like he could take a day off.
You gotta go to work.
Sense of worker. And that was kind of a fun memory to know how important it was to my father.
Sure. Right? Well, when you think about you and I raising our kids, I was a shift worker. You know, in law enforcement, I worked shifts. So what a connection that would be to, you know, to your family working shifts. Now, Jimbo, what about you? You, what's something that you remember? I mean, you're a twin, right? You're a twin, plus you had another brother. What was special about Christmas at your house?
Well, last year I said the same thing. Christmas was always special. Not only Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, the period moving up to Christmas, but I'm not concerned about Christmas past. I'm concerned about Christmas future.
This is why we limit what Jim has to say, because this is a fun, happy special. So let's rein you back in, Mr. Contrarian. If you ever want...
I can't get beyond it, Jeff. I cannot.
She just got hit. He just got hit by Marisa, if you heard that sound.
You got to keep in mind that, you know, Jim is always, I'm not going to say a positive guy, but he's always going to try and drag it back, so we're going to limit his input.
I'm a contrarian, and I'm saying this is beautiful. This is what I want for America. Past is not going to exist. If things continue the way it's going,
I'm
going
to hate myself. What are you saying? Well, like, why are you making
depressing.
Me very
it's
depressing?
Very depressing.
You know, take a Xanax.
There is hope.
I want to enjoy my Christmas.
There is hope.
Oh, Jesus Christ is here at Christmas time. Jimmy, shut up now. All right, so let's move on.
Because, I mean, I understand, I have to say
Christmas is about hope. I hope and I pray that we have the past.
I do too. For any of our listeners who are on the edge and you're worried about life and you're thinking about hanging yourself, like Kathy said, please don't do that because you listen to Jim. Remember, Jesus loves you, and there's always hope. Tomorrow is always an opportunity to be better than today.
Listen.
Maybe not for Jim, but for all the rest of us, 700 billion people, it could be better than yesterday. And that's why we talk about Christmas.
I'm telling you, Jim, and I want to say this, wrestle is real. And it's something I think probably can be talked about. The wrestle.
The struggle.
This is a tough year. It's a crazy year, but if you have 50 years of great times, if you have 40 years, you have 2 years of great times. What makes you think you're not going to have a great time again? You want to take it one piece at a time. You don't want to awfulize it. You don't want to get yourself out there making yourself too crazy about the future. We don't have a crystal ball. Your wife told me that a dozen years ago. There is no crystal ball. So let's appreciate what we have. Because I think if we can appreciate what we had and what our parents did for us, what our grandparents did for us, it kind of encourages us to do great things for those, you know,
Kathy,
our children.
Your point is excellent, and all of you do a great job. Anybody that's listening, they're like, what a great job of creating a conflict and then offering some hope and then opening the door for Joe to talk for a few minutes, which is what every host really hopes for. When, Jim, your comment that there's hope, and Kathy, you're talking about, right, you can have good times and you can have bad times. Hope comes to us when we look at the bigger things in life, not just the everyday struggle. The everyday struggle that we're facing this year with COVID and with the shutdowns and with people losing their job. All of those things are absolutely horrific and terrible, and there's no way around them. So, Jim, your point is well made. This is a unique and special Christmas that a lot of people are suffering, and it can easily be that this is a terrible time. This is, we're looking at the election. There's half of the country is upset because of the election. Here we have Christmas coming, and they're going to lock us down again. This could all be bad, but I got to tell you, the reality for me, and this is what I've just come to very recently, which is why I want to do this show. I could be just as angry because I feel I've been cheated. I can be just upset because the world is locked down. I can be upset by all of that, but Christmas is not about any of that. Christmas is about that little baby in the manger, which is hope of all mankind forever. It can overcome anything. That's what Christmas is. And when I'm looking at that, that takes me past any of the possible problems I have in front of me. And believe me, at this point, as Miss Kathy knows, we got a lot going on here at the Pangaro House. Today, I almost had retina surgery, which we talked about the other day on the show. But the reality is, that baby Jesus, that coming of Jesus, that hope is what Christmas is about. And that's for our friends who are not even Christian. Jesus is there for all of us. And it means hope. It means something better tomorrow than today. Because if we don't look at that, we can all be negative. Negativity takes care of itself. You take white paint and black paint and you mix the two together, you get gray, right? You want white paint and everything. Hope. Hope is baby Jesus. The fact that Jesus is coming, whether we're in a pandemic, whether we're locked down, whether we've had a hard time at our job, he always comes because there's a bigger world than just this one.
We love that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. We watch it every year. Do you guys ever watch that?
Mm-hmm.
Yearly?
Of course.
So we watch it every year. It's our tradition, Joe and I. We wrap the kids gifts and we watch that movie. And it is at a time of such desperation in that man's life. And he gets the opportunity to see that it's more, he has a profound impact, more than just this tough day he's having. And I kind of feel like that's what Christmas brought to all of us. We didn't know our parents were doing that when they were wrapping those presents and decorating the tree and bringing us to church at midnight. You know, we didn't know that that would be the effect that we would have hope and we would have that sense of we can get through a tough time and still have a celebration.
And that's what I always see with Christmas is. Christmas, we've been through lean times. You know, we were telling my son the other day, it's pretty funny, we got these dopey little ornaments we put on our Christmas tree. Mm. From our first year together, we had moved to Florida. You know, everybody's dream in the Northeast to move to Florida, to Tampa, Florida, where it's sunshiny every day. It's, it's unbelievable. Florida, I love Florida. Kathy knows I would drag everyone there in 2 seconds if I didn't have to work for the rest of my life to put everyone to college. Other than that, I love the state of Florida, the sunshine, it's really beautiful. But we moved down there when we were young because we thought we had an opportunity there. The opportunity didn't pan out, but it ended up being, we ended up finding jobs. We found work. We found a way to survive, which was funny because when you go on vacation to Florida, you go to the beach every day, you go to Disneyland, you hang out, you look at those palm trees. When I lived there to work, I went to work every day. When I came home, I went to bed and got up and went. I didn't go to the beach at all. And I lived in St. Petersburg, Tampa. It was amazing. But our Christmas, that Christmas, was we came home and we saw everybody. And we went back to Florida. And the same day we went back to work, Kathleen and I, we both lost our jobs. On the same day, we showed up at work, and they said, listen, the economy's really bad. It was 1984, sorry, the economy's really bad, and we have to let you go. And we both got let go the same day. Now, here we had an apartment in Florida. We had a cat named Horatio, who was wonderful, named after Horatio Prim, the Costello character in, from the movie, Whoever Knows It. It's really one of my favorites. This beautiful little white cat, and $0, okay? So we're sitting around trying to figure out what we're going to do for Christmas, Kathy and I. You know, this is our Christmas together. This is wonderful. We're in Florida. I think we had $9 for a Christmas tree. That's I had $9. And I said, I'm going to go out and get a tree. And she goes, who is going to sell you a tree for nine? I said, Kathy, it's 2 days before Christmas. They're all sold out. Whatever's left, I'm going to get. I figured I'm going to get this big, beautiful Christmas tree, right? With, well, first I walk out to my parking lot, and it's Florida. And I'm thinking, I made a right choice to come to Florida. This is awesome. Except that was the year there was a cold snap all across the country that was so cold in the state of Florida. I went to get in my car, and I slipped on a puddle of ice in Tampa, Florida, and I fell on my butt in the parking lot. And I tell you, at that moment, sitting there, looking up at the stars, how beautiful, I said, I moved to Florida for this great opportunity for Christmas. This is wonderful. Here we are. It's sunshine every day. It's great. In the meantime, I lost my job. I have $9 for a tree. No money for a present. I have the woman I love back in the apartment with the cat that I love. Nothing. And I just slipped on a puddle of ice in Florida. Hello? McFly? Somebody's telling you something here. And I went and I searched all. I went to like four or five different lots and they turned me away. I felt like Jesus at the inn, you know, with the family. There's nothing here for you.
Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph at the inn. Well, Jesus was there too. He went to the inn. There was no place for him. So I go there and finally this one kid, I gave this kid my story and he's like, oh, I'm really sorry. The cheapest one we have is 20. And I'm telling you, literally, I had $9 for a tree. Otherwise, we weren't eating rice balls the next day. So I went to leave, and I sat in my car, and I was just sitting there with the engine running, looking at the gas. How much gas am I going to have? It's icy cold, so I had my heat on in the car in Florida. And the kid comes up to the door, and he knocks on the window. He goes, you really only got $9? I said, yeah, I only got $9. He goes, you know what? I got a tree over here for $8. Come and take a look. And I took a walk over there, and it was a nice tree. It wasn't a beautiful tree. It was a nice tree.
Charlie Brown tree.
So, everybody out in Chasing Justice Land, no matter where you find yourself tonight, there's hope for Christmas. We'll be back in a minute with round two, and wait till you hear what happens then.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back, my friend, to the Chasing Justice Christmas Special. Here with Jim Giordano, Marisa Giordano, and the lovely Kathy Pangaro, and myself, your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. So, we finished off talking about the ornaments that Kathy and I made for Christmas back in 1983, and how they really become a part of what we do. Ornaments, when you think about it, they mean something. I mean, when people want to give a gift, and they say, well, give an ornament. Why would you give an ornament? But you take that ornament out every single year. You look at it. You think about it. You talk about the people that gave it to you. You put it on the tree.
You know what? I remember Uncle Tom.
Uncle Tom.
So we had, Joe had his mother and father's friend. So Joe's father died when he was young. And they had a family friend, Tom. Tom wasn't married. And Tom became Uncle Tom.
That's you know, one of those, Uncle Tom.
Yeah, Uncle Tom. And when you and I got married, we didn't have anything. And Uncle Tom gave us all these little stitched animal kind of ornaments for a tree. Well, you know, the years go by and you get new ornaments. And we got down to every year we took out these ornaments and we talk about Uncle Tom. Now, Uncle Tom never had children. He was just a family friend. He wasn't really an uncle, right?
No, he was a friend of my mom's, became a friend of ours.
Yeah, your mom and dad's, because he had the store.
They actually had a restaurant where they had they tried to do a restaurant thing. Interesting in that he worked in the Empire State Building, and he worked for a company that made little figurines. And when I was young, one of the things we tried to do was find a job for me that mm-hmm. didn't include landscaping mm-hmm. in the cold or the heat. And we had an opportunity to go to the Empire State Building to go for an interview. And I wore your father's shoes and an old suit that didn't fit well. And I took the bus to New York City. And I remember walking up the street going, okay, I have to do really well in this interview. And Kathleen said, hey, don't forget, Uncle Tom works there. He expects you to stop in. He's on like the 38th floor. And I'm like, oh boy. So I did my interview and it got done.
And this time before there was cell phones.
For anything. There's no connection.
Like, yeah.
And I ended up going down there. And Tom was one of these guys that in his house, they set up, him and his brother lived together, and they set up a Christmas display of trains that was their entire basement footprint. Mm. Villages. People. It took them months to put it together. It must have taken months to take it down, but they loved it, and they were Christmas people. Well, this company he worked for, it was kind of like, what do they call the dolls? Those
porcelain
Hummels.
Hummels.
Yeah. Kind of like that. And I finished my interview, and I end up going down to see Tom, and he comes in, and the place that he worked was just, it was Christmas. It looked like out of a movie set that this would be, I'd shoot a movie here, because it looked like Elf. It was one of those kind of things. But Uncle Tom's little ornaments, just like the ones we made, we still have one. And we put it up when we think about Uncle Tom, because that's the power of an ornament. So, Marisa, before you were saying you had tradition making an ornament when mm-hmm. you were a kid. What did you do?
So my grandmom always loved making ornaments. And we would sit around. And she taught me how to crochet. And I was terrible at knitting. But she would always make ornaments with beads and styrofoam balls and all this stuff, and it was great. And now I find myself sharing those ornaments with the kids. So now I also have Jimmy's Nana's ornaments, and Nana always made presents and wreaths. My grandma made candlesticks and all kinds of different things. Candlesticks, just regular round ornaments, angels. I mean, we have such a great...
They're very scary looking angels. I just want to point that out.
They're old fashioned.
That would be Halloween ornaments. But anyway, I think it's great because the kids appreciate them. And it came from the hands of your grandparents, like
great grandparents.
It's so wonderful that we have that to pass
on. We had no money when Joe and I were first married. We had no money, nothing. And I read somewhere, because all you had was magazines. You didn't have Google. You didn't have anything like that. And I read somewhere that this suggestion was, put your child's favorite toy on the tree, as an ornament. So I said, well, this is a great idea. Joey was 2 years old. Now, he was two, so it was easy enough to figure out what his first-year toy was, his second-year toy. And we put those on the tree. It was a memory, like what he was and what he loved. Well, this became really important. Every year, the kids had to decide what was their ornament or their favorite toy of the year. So there was Spider-Man. That was a big one.
Alex there had the frying pan with the egg
because he loved like playing with the kitchen. Your daughter had a little brush. And her thing was her house of fancy hair.
Marisa's house of fancy hair because she wanted to be a hairdresser.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And so we had that. She had an eraser because she wanted to be a teacher for poor
So we have all these things hanging on the tree, and it's become part of, again, these that we put them up every year. Right now, hanging on my tree, my son Alex is 28 years old.
29.
But he was a cowboy. I mean, mm-hmm. He wore cowboy
and
boots.
And he wanted an easy bake oven?
Yeah. No, he didn't. Yeah. He's got a 6-shot revolver, cowboy revolver, that's been hanging on every single one of my trees.
I wanted a G.I. Joe. I had every G.I. Joe. I don't think they have them anymore.
No,
they
the big are. Ones, right? Remember with the Kung Fu grip and all of that?
Oh, and then the G.I. Joe, they had all the tank. I mean, what a world we lived in. The tank, the gun.
It was crazy. It was G.I. Joe. I got in trouble when the girls behind me, we became friends, and they had Barbie dolls, and I had G.I. Joe. And I, all of a sudden, I had crazy ideas, and my mother would be like, you can't be having G.I. Joe do that! No, he likes her. It's Barbie. She's pretty. Right? So that's just a whole nother thought. I want to know about Nana. Now that I'm hearing this, Jim, tell what was Nana all about with Christmas?
Nana was the Oracle.
What is it? Oracle?
Yes.
We call her the Oracle. Mm-hmm. She was the one who sat in the corner, and she watched all the kids, the great-grandchildren, the grandchildren, maneuver in their ways, and she would just pipe up and give us a word of wisdom. Like, you know, Matt, that's how the mop flops.
The mop flops, yeah. The cookie crumbles. I can't even remember, like...
Silly analogy.
Yes.
The holes in the... You do not fall into the holes in the backyard. I mean, that really... Matthew, two years later, he was like, what does that mean? I'm like, that means you keep finding your problems in life and you're not finding solutions. But they...
That is awesome.
But great Nana was, and my mother was the same way. And believe it or not, there is always the Oracle in the family. And I'm not one of them. Because they all look at me and they're like, are you kidding me?
Nobody was an Oracle in that
name. Gabby, everyone has listened to Jim and anything he would tell us.
I'm positive, but nobody thinks
you're positive, Jim.
I just want to ask everybody out there in our audience, because when you bring up, you know, Nana as the Oracle and we talk about our parents and what they did, we all have those people in our family. Do we talk about them? Does anybody write these stories down? Do we celebrate them? Do we tell our kids these great stories about these people that have gone before us? That's really what Christmas is. You know, we connect to our past. We connect to our future of hope. So I would say tell these stories. If this is the first time you're remembering that, you probably have a great Nana. You have somebody like her that said
the greatest generation? Yes. We have a lot of stories about the greatest generation.
They didn't talk though.
We have no stories about this generation because we are failing to live up to what we need
to
do.
Shut up, Jim.
We have to remind
Jim. Merry Christmas to you.
Chris, you know who he is? He's Scrooge. Yeah. He's Scrooge. He's not even Marley. I wouldn't even say he's my Marley.
Merry Christmas.
He's Scrooge.
I want to say this, though, Jim, calm down a notch. My grandma, my grandfather, well, both my grandfathers and grandmothers came from Ireland, where people were starving to death. They came to this country. They still celebrated Christmas. Mm-hmm. Here is this poor, nothing family celebrating Christmas, whatever they do for their family.
Same thing for my family, Italy, southern Italy, poor as anything.
Poor as anything. Making a celebration.
Okay, you can celebrate the Chinese Christmas because that's what's coming.
Okay.
The CCP Christmas.
Let me take this in a new direction. Because you know what?
He's muffled for the next segment. I don't want him in the next segment. Just choke him.
Let's give Jim the gift of a Christmas choking.
Let's give him an apple in his mouth
We're going to break Jim's spell. We're going to do a quick around the table and then we'll follow this up. So this is a quick...
Am I part of this?
No, you can be a part of it as long as you keep it to the answer. Don't do something stupid at Christmas. All right? The real Christmas tree versus the artificial Christmas tree. Now, this doesn't seem like a big deal, but I'm telling you, my family, we grew up with an artificial tree, and we thought it was amazing. And Christmas time, well, first of all, let me deal with what we're hearing in the back.
Hey!
We have, you all know Arthur. Thank you for screaming, Marisa, sorry. So that the production team and Malcolm will yell at me for the screaming at the table.
I'm sorry, that was just
habit.
Reflex.
You got to understand, when you're making a radio show, ladies and gentlemen, you have all non-professionals around you, and you have dogs that bark, and you have Malcolm out loud, the great Malcolm out loud, back in the studio going, Joe, you can't let people yell, and why is the dog barking? And I'll tell you why the dog is barking. He's barking because he's celebrating dog Christmas. He's very happy that Christmas is happening.
He's now, happy because pizza's coming.
Well,
is this fake news?
Oh, I think it's Lord. Fake.
You're taking me down a road I don't want to go. So the reality is that Arthur, and we've said many times, Arthur is a rescue. And his friend Shelby, who Jim and Marisa went and got Shelby, who's a rescue also, and she's here, and they are the best of friends, and they're running
they
around.
They might be husband and wife soon.
They could be. We don't know. We're not sure yet, and Arthur's not really sure how he feels about that. But they're both wearing Christmas bells. They're running around, and we're letting them have the run of the house. And, of course, they bark. And, of course, the cat's running. They chase the cat. It's ridiculous. If you need to get a present for Christmas, don't get a dog or a cat. Hang on. Time out. This is serious. Don't get a dog or cat that you're not going to love 3 weeks after Christmas. Mm. People do that. They go get a puppy. They get a kitten. And then it's a burden. Well, dogs and cats are a burden. They're also a loving animal. They're real. They're alive. Don't do that to your kids. Give them something and then nobody takes care of it. We rescued these animals because as dopey as Arthur is, as silly as Shelby is, they are all love.
Precious. Right?
They're precious. And we love them. We bring them into our family. And we let them run around when we do the show like this, and they're barking. And that's just natural. You're hearing real life here.
They're very excited to be together. They love being together.
They
so
do.
You can't
they're
really
good together.
We yell at them, quiet, because we're trying to do a radio show.
So that's the first thing I want you to know. You're going to hear.
What's Arthur's next? What's Arthur's new name? Last Dog.
Can somebody give him a Christmas choking?
Yes.
If you don't, I'm going to give him a Christmas choking.
Give him a cookie.
All right. So what we said was
hang on, the second thing.
I just want to point out that we're our youngest child is 17, our oldest child is 35. So Arthur's like our last dog. You know, like you feel like we've done it all now. Jack is young. We have Arthur.
Right.
Which is moving along. It's not because we don't hate dogs, Jim.
I know.
Because we've done. But you made it sound like we hate dogs.
You made it. The you're best such
part.
A curmudgeon.
I guess. That
Scrooge.
Was the best part.
He's Scrooge.
He made it sound.
No, yes.
He is Scrooge.
He didn't want Shelby.
He didn't
this
want
year,
Shelby.
I'm Scrooge.
He didn't want another dog.
All right. Well, I'm going to move on here. I want to do a lightning round. Real tree or artificial tree?
Fake tree.
So you like artificial,
why?
Jim?
Yeah, because
you're fake.
I have to clean up the
fake
needles.
Fake news.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of the fire that my cousin was consumed and died.
Oh, my God.
Okay, everyone, that's enough of Jim's commentary. Teresa,
where
are you?
I know, that was terrible.
Can we meet the second
No, fake
tree.
Fake tree for Jim.
Real.
Marisa, real tree. That's fantastic. Kathy?
Real.
I don't know where to go now. He just ruined Christmas. It's like having actual Scrooge sitting at your table going bah humbug, bah humbug, and there's no rest of the movie.
My God.
When
Kathy,
I was
ahead.
A kid, the fig trees were so pathetic.
That's all we ever had.
And that's all you had.
The silver
I hated them.
Fake. I don't know. We didn't have silver. But we had the one that you struggled to put the branch right
the
in the
color
right
with the color and the right hole. Ugh.
So we, when we had our children, we started to go to tree farms and cut
which
them
was,
down.
Which
was
a wonderful.
Was fun. It made like an event of doing the whole pick the tree. Now, everybody found that something important to do. And so you don't feel like you can't go to tree farm now. So I like a real tree because I like the fact that we have a nice real tree to smell. But I also I'm wrestling, in my age now? We're getting near 60.
Kathy, you bring up a great point. When I was a kid, too young for me to remember, we had a real tree that came up at Christmas Eve. I remember my mother and father telling me, we put the tree up on Christmas Eve, and then somehow or other, that transitioned to the new generation, which is something we want to talk about in a minute, either this segment or the next, is that your parents' traditions versus ours. we had this tree, I guess, I don't know, it was live, I don't know. We ended up, we got a beautiful artificial tree. And I remember setting it up in my living room, and we had hardwood floors, but we put a nail in the stand, three nails in the stand into the hardwood floors to hold it up so it would stay straight. But Marisa, you're right. It was like the blue color went to the blue part of the tree, and my job as a young man, I would watch when I was a kid, but then I got to that age where I could help my father. Mm-hmm. And I was allowed to sort the branches into the colors and then put them into the tree and then actually put the lights on. That became, I mean, that was a real thing mm-hmm. that I got to do with my father, which was great. And I've done that with my children as they went through. Each one has a different thing they got to do. And that was based on my experience with my father and my mother and how we did it. But it was great. And then Kathleen and I got married, and we were like, okay, well, you know, wouldn't it be nice to smell real pine of a real tree?
This is spray for.
Well, I have to say that a real tree costs a lot of money. So stop.
So do fake trees.
No, wait. Fake trees cost, I want to say, like, $200-something.
$200-$300 now.
After Christmas,
at the time. So we had the choice of buying a fake tree or buying a real tree. Well, a real tree might have been $50. Well, we're like buying the real tree.
Fake tree, $250. We'll get the real tree, and we have 5 more years of real trees before we have to worry about it.
So You're right. Was kind of like it was also a practical thing.
But you were right, though. Going to those tree farms, we have hundreds of pictures of these kids from their little to their older picking the tree, walking around with the dog. Walking through the forest, it reminded me of the family vacation when there's the tree. Well, we did that. Those were awesome. My concern now as I get older is that, first of all, the kids are too busy to go with us. We're so busy that, you know, we're looking for a tree. You get the scrubby tree. You get the... And maybe it goes on... Maybe I just want to go to an artificial tree. I'm going to vote, and my vote is one that counts here at Chasing mm-hmm. Justice. I'm going to say real tree for the time being. Listen. We'll be back in a minute with round 3 here on our Christmas special. We're just trying to talk about the things that we all love about Christmas. What is it as you're preparing your dinner, you're preparing your meal, family's there, we're sitting around together. This is the essence of Christmas, not all the nonsense that we have to deal with every single day. So Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll be right back in a minute. This is Lieutenant Joe for Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
The war on America's cities and claims of racism in the ranks of law enforcement have spirited a renewed debate on racial equality. It was Alexis de Tocqueville who reminded us, Americans are so enamored of equality, they would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom. To which I say, be warned of the shiny object, America. AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, it's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Well, well, well. Ho, ho, ho. Welcome back to the Chasing Justice Christmas special. Now, you know, when we go off for the breaks and we're listening to the commercials, we sit around here and we're having conversation. We're trying to figure out, are we portraying ourselves the way we want? Are we having a fun Christmas? You know, and the conversation was, is Jim bringing up negatives? I think Jim is bringing up truths and real things that we need to talk about. Now, of course, we want to silence him and his negativity as we go forward, but we do love him, and he's a good foil for us talking about it, because this is a tough Christmas for everybody.
It is difficult.
And I think we need to bring that in. It's real. If nothing else, this group of people you have here at Chasing Justice, we're real. We're all trying to work our way through this and do it. We're trying to figure out these topics. We have so many. Like, we talked about real or whatever. How about...
Real or whatever, real trees.
The second thing we want everyone to know that this is Christmas and we are having adult beverages while we enjoy ourselves here. Because Santa likes us to have adult beverages. Now, one of the things that we talk about is it the C9 incandescent bulb or do you go LED?
No, stop it.
No, Kathy, you don't like the LED bulb. You mentioned that.
Are you kidding me? That's a conversation you're having.
No, there's nothing better than the old-fashioned looking lights.
So the incandescent.
I love the multicolored old-fashioned.
Even having a conversation.
Yes, we're having those.
I'm being a contrarian.
Now Jim and Kathy are on the same team now. Oh, less than a minute into segment three. And they're
Jim, it happens every time.
Are you going to...
No. Okay. LEDs are more environmentally friendly.
Yeah, but they're not pretty.
Our friends on the left are going to love this. Go ahead.
I like it. They don't burn as hot.
They don't burn as hot. And they won't set the tree on fire. Jim, ladies and gentlemen, those are good points. LED, I don't like the color of them. They don't feel warm to me. I like the C9. It's my bulb of choice. I take that from the
movie. Yes, we have those.
I'm a C6.
Oh, sorry.
C6. You're smaller than me. I understand that. That's something you've always dealt with. So listen, let's move on to something else that I thought was important here. Two topics I really want to get to.
Favorite
the nativity.
Meal.
We haven't talked about the nativity and our favorite meals. Now, the nativity.
Nativity, you can eat the what do you mean? Nativity?
We're not
going to
eat the nativity, Kathy.
Separate topics.
When I was a kid, my father had this handmade manger. Mm-hmm. It was a frame, obviously a frame of wood inside, but the outside was actual birch pieces of, 2-inch logs that were put together. And every Christmas, my father would put this together just underneath the tree, and he put this white cotton all around it, and he put a little mirror under it, looked like a lake, and all the little creatures were in there, and
There was a train, right? Didn't he like trains?
Well, I sat on the train when I was three and broke the train.
But
he didn't
have
it after that. He had trains earlier. But the nativity was this beautiful thing that he had gotten from his father that was handmade in the early 1920s, and he passed it on to me. And I loved watching him do it. And then finally he said to me one year, here, you set up the nativity. And that was amazing because all of a sudden I got to put, I get to open up the cotton and put the mirror, so that's where the pond was. And I put all the little characters around. And then I wanted to put Jesus in there.
Mm-mm.
And, he goes, no, mm-hmm. Jesus comes Christmas Eve. You put Jesus. And I said, but they're all standing around. He goes, and they're waiting for Jesus.
They're
and
waiting.
That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the only the advice I had gotten. So when we look at that, Marisa, where did you put the nativity? Was it on? I've seen people put it on a table in another room, under the tree. What do you do?
You know, what's sad is Jimmy didn't grow up doing that. So I kind of gave in to him. But growing up, my mom and dad always did a full village under the tree. Not just the nativity. A full village of houses and skaters and people.
And how big was it? Are you talking about the room, the whole room? Or
maybe like 3x4. Underneath the tree.
Oh, okay.
With
pretty big.
Many, many little houses, many little churches, many little people skating. Oh, it was a big to do.
Skating and nativity?
Yeah, skaters.
And again, on the pond.
Skaters in the village. And then the nativity was on the side. And I don't do that. And I'm kind of sad that I really didn't pass it on to my kids, but I always do have a nativity set up somewhere in the house.
Yeah.
I usually have at least two. But it's not under the tree. Under my tree is presents. So I've become Americanized. Is that something that...
I don't know, because I always found the nativity. I thought that was like the coolest part of the whole... The Christmas tree was great.
Yeah.
But the nativity, because I used to put one light from the Christmas tree...
Yes, in the creche.
In the creche, and it would be there. And I would... When I took great pride in that,
so
I set up the nativity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that my father would let me do it.
Yes.
And I would put, what do you think? And he'd say, I think you did a good job with it. And I'm like, wow, I did the nativity. Because I always liked that. We moved it later on onto a table. And it never felt the same.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm going to try to bring that back. Because I do miss it. And I think I shouldn't have moved away from that.
And it focuses.
I mean, I like the presence under the tree too. That's plenty of room for that.
But
you can still have
the crush. It focuses on what Christmas is really all about.
Yeah, happy
Kathy,
birthday,
Jesus. You talk
about
that all the time. What is really the focus of Christmas? Yeah. Is it Santa Claus? Is it sleighs and Rudolphs and their presents? Or is it, it's deeper than that? I think it's deeper than that.
It's a struggle for a parent to have that. Because isn't why would you have Christmas if it wasn't for Jesus being born?
Exactly.
Why would you have it? So that's a struggle. You don't want it to be about Santa Claus. You want it to be about something more.
Now, Santa Claus, I think, is excellent because it is a cool feature. Probably one of the best cards I ever saw that I thought were so appropriate to this conversation was a picture of Santa Claus kneeling before the baby Jesus. Because that kind of took the secular and put it in perspective on what it should really be. Here's this, I guess it was like a manger, a creche or whatever, and here's the baby Jesus, and here's Santa Claus kneeling before
him. I want to say that I saw the same thing, and it was a Coca-Cola commercial. I'm not quite sure, but I do think that was the sweetest commercial I've ever seen.
Sure, and if Coca-Cola wants to advertise here on Facing Justice, they can reach out because we like Coca-Cola.
I think, though, that the hard part is, and I'm going to be like Jim now because we're really, really alike, but I think the hard part is about the whole crush thing is you're trying to bring Santa in, trying to justify it. We're trying to justify why is Santa here. It's really about Jesus being born. And we're right. trying to justify it. But the magic of it is so awesome. I remember the magic of waking up on Christmas morning, running down the stairs, having that whole experience. I wanted my whole life to make the magic happen for my children.
Right. Even if you didn't connect the two to religion.
Yeah, I tried. It was magic. I tried. But as adults, but I really wanted to have the magic.
But we've made a big point out of it in our family to make sure we connect it. You know, you see all these cars ride around and people got so many stupid bumper stickers. I will never have a bumper sticker on my car. My car is, I like it. But the one I do like that we put on there is Keep Christ in Christmas. Now, you bought that a couple years ago. And I like that because that reminds us. This is what all of this is supposed to remind. What is the purpose of this whole Christmas season? It's not presents. It's not packages and boxes and bows. I sound like the Scrooge there, right?
Yeah. No, the Grinch. Grinch.
Yeah, but wait a second. You all are sounding like the Scrooge, but you're absolutely right. They change. They materialize Christmas. And I love Santa Claus.
You say.
What a great thing for all of us. The experience. But what they did, they diminished the importance of what Christmas was all about. We can have both. I love Santa Claus. But I would never forget asking my mother, you know, Mom, how does Santa Claus come down a Christmas tree? I mean, a chimney.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her looking at me and said, Christmas, Santa Claus is not real. Then my next thought was...
She didn't say that.
Oh, yes, she did. Well, at that point, I learned. And I'm not sure who's listening to this, but... And my next thought was, well, is Christ real? You're teaching me about Santa Claus, and then all of a sudden you just denied the existence, and now all of a sudden, what am I supposed to think?
That's a great thought.
It is.
It's a struggle for all us parents. Why do we let them have the magic of Santa? Why is that?
At what expense?
I know. And this was, I struggled with this when my oldest son was little. And I talked to his nursery school teacher and I said, do I do that? Do I let the kid think about Santa? Like one day he's going to say, Santa's not really real. But is it going to equate Santa with Jesus?
Right. Like that's Santa wasn't real. Is the Jesus thing real?
And she said to me...
Difficult subject.
Yeah.
You
know,
but she
said to me, I clung to what her wisdom was. And I wasn't fond of her for everything, but I clung to her wisdom. And she said, it's important to know how to hope in something other than what you see here.
Right.
Santa helps you see beyond what's here.
Like, right. Well, if you can believe in something like that, there's something more. And right. I think
someone
that is the beauty.
So it's hope. You're giving hope.
Hope
you're giving a secular hope. You want to know something? I get it. I like it.
Oh, I didn't know how to. I didn't want to present my son with a secular Santa when it was really about Jesus. But I didn't know what to do.
Well, along the same line, I remember as a kid hearing that Santa Claus is actually Saint Nicholas.
Saint Nick. Mm-hmm.
He was, and then you start to find out, well, he was a Catholic priest running around giving presents to people at Christmas. And you start to say, wow, there's more to this than mm-hmm. maybe what I just saw. And that's the young person. So let's move this forward because we're running. So we could do 9 hours here on Christmas special with Chasing Justice.
Artichokes.
Artichokes.
My favorite thing, artichokes on Christmas. My wife will make them for me every time.
Because artichokes.
You have to put the cheese. You have to put the
empty cheese. I have to tell you that your wife taught me how to make artichoke. And I said the work was not worth the effort, not worth the result. I would never, ever, ever in a million years do an artichoke thing with the cheese thing to give it to you. Never.
All I think about artichokes is, might have choked Audie. Ain't gonna choke Stymie from back in the day. So let's move on then. Here's a question here. And this came up before. This actually had some heat and I couldn't believe it. When it comes to your presents, your gifts, the things that we give, because there is a side of that. We give gifts to people. We show them that we love. Jesus was the gift to all of us. That's why we give each other gifts, right? See, the connection is always a connection. Wrapped or unwrapped gifts? Do you give wrapped or unwrapped gifts? Kathy, what do you think?
Well, now, it was hard because I wanted the kids. Here's what happened. The kids said to me early on, the younger kids, Santa just brought whatever wooden toy was around. But now all of a sudden there was electronics. So I said, no, Santa is an elf. He makes wooden toys. You don't get electronics. So I'm looking at the whole gift giving thing
mm-hmm.
with Santa. And
you're not sure exactly where we're going to go with it. I mean, wrapped or unwrapped. I like wrapped because
I wanted to have it special from Santa, one gift from Santa.
Well, that's what we did. We limited here in our family. We said if the kids think everything comes from Santa,
right?
When they realize, like you said, Jim, that you tell them, well, Santa's not, because there comes a point. I remember as a little kid, I don't forget my grade, and I heard the kids talking about it, and I remember coming home and saying to my mom, and I fought with this. Did I want to know or not want to know? Which is your first real sentient moment as a young person. Is Santa real? Does that mean I don't get gifts? What if he's not real? You do. Now, the kids never hold that against us, that we told them this whole Santa Easter Bunny thing. They just don't. Well, my parents were liars, and therefore I'm. That was just.
No, it's a way to learn. That.
It's a way to learn. But I remember coming home and saying, Mom, is Santa real? And she was like, do you really want to know? And I said, no, I don't want to know. And then I said, yes, I do. And she goes, no, Santa's not real. Jesus is real. It's all about Jesus, and Santa brings presents because Jesus was a present. That's why we give each other presents. I thought that was a beautiful thing. Wrapped or unwrapped gifts, though,
is
kind of tough because wrapped. Why,
only
Marisa?
Because
why?
I'll tell you. Oh my God, I had the worst Christmas ever
at my parents' house
because Jimmy said, "Oh, unwrapped gifts are the best." I was like, I can't imagine that. And we argued and argued and argued, and I finally said, okay, you say, okay, if you say it's the greatest, we'll do it your way. We'll
the greatest, unwrapped. That's a big thing, the greatest.
Oh, yeah, the greatest. We'll do unwrapped.
So what do you mean, like the pants were just like on a hanger, or well, they were in a box with no wrapping paper? I don't know that.
Put them on the Christmas tree.
So the kids,
like a pants, so the pair
instead
of pants,
the kids right? getting a, I don't know, Nintendo or whatever it
was.
That they couldn't see. Now they see everything. There's the Nintendo. There's the game that came with it. There's the Barbie doll. There's the clothes. I mean, it was so.
Does
such...
it take away the excitement of
yes.
ripping paper?
And... I was so disappointed. I went downstairs and I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me.
I've come to the conclusion.
It was horrible.
Right. She's right.
Remember, my mother was a Mad Men generation. Martini, Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And the last
what
thing
are you
she wanted
about
to
your
do.
Mother?
My mother.
She didn't
she
want
wanted
to wrap
presents.
She just
presents.
Wanted to have one.
So her thing was, throw it under the Christmas tree.
Well,
we got them what they
boys.
Needed. I'm going to bed. And
I'm having my martini.
And yes,
see ya.
7 o'clock in the morning. Mom, can we go downstairs? No, I'm
not
sleeping.
Of course, she had her martinis. So lightning round. Wrapped or unwrapped? Jim?
Wrapped.
Ah, Richard. Wrapped.
Kathy, wrapped. And Joe says wrapped. Easily, easy, easy, easy. Now, one of the things, the last thing we're going to get to here, because we are quickly running out of our time here, are parents' traditions versus our traditions. Now, I told you that my mom and dad, maybe when I know when they were younger and they were married, they had a live Christmas tree. Because I don't think in the 1960, it was the start of the artificial tree. But you, like Kathy said, they were expensive. You didn't buy those. You bought a tree for $12 or $8 from the guy up the street. And you put up the tree on Christmas Eve. It was there for 3 days. It never went dry. It never burned up. Your C9 bulb didn't light the house on fire. Even though Jim's tragedy he told us about, we'll go past that. We'll say a prayer for all those people. The reality was, once we got into, like, I remember as my father's business started to get successful, suddenly having the artificial tree might have been a status symbol for them. I don't know. But they got an artificial tree. It was easy to put together. We didn't have to go out in the field. As a kid, since I never had real, the smell of a tree seemed really cool to me. I wanted to smell the tree, and I took my kids, and I loved. We went every single time. Every year became a big tradition to go to the field, pick the tree, cut the tree down, tie it to the roof of the car, hope it didn't fall off and kill the guy behind you, go to a restaurant, have dinner, and then come home and set up Christmas. So, you know, when I look at parents' traditions versus ours, I don't think there's any right or wrong. I think what our parents did was what they thought was right for them and their families for Christmas. And what we do for our families and for Christmas is equally as important. And if you have younger people in your family, they're going to pick the traditions that they think. We tried to pass these all on. We tried to pass these on to our kids, right? This is what we think is important. We hope they follow in that. But you know what? I know a lot of people get upset that their kids don't follow that. But did we follow all our parents' traditions? Did we do things differently? We did. I think the whole idea here is that we need to be open and loving and enjoy Christmas. And I got to tell you, I've loved being here with everybody for Christmas. It's been a great time. I want to thank Marisa and Jim and my lovely bride, Kathleen, the barking dogs in the background, the squirrels that are screaming around the corner, the cats that are whatever. Christmas is a wonderful, wonderful time for everybody. And I hope we all have a great Christmas, because no matter what's going on in our lives, Christmas means more than presents, packages, restrictions, whatever. Christmas is about baby Jesus. And baby Jesus, as Jim told us, is the hope. That's the hope of tomorrow. Tomorrow can always be better. Merry Christmas, everybody. Have a great new year.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We'll talk to you soon here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.